Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
I thought love was only true in fairy tales.
Good morning, 7:39 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Oh my God, I just saw my favorite Turkish sharpshooter meme. It's a picture of Chewbacca and Han Solo and Leia and Luke laying dead with, you know, blaster shots to their midriff on the Death Star. And then it switches to a picture of him in a stormtrooper outfit. And then written and directed by George Lucas. Like the whole plot would be 18 seconds long. If only the stormtroopers could shoot like the Turks. All right. The other day, we had a chance, of course, went to Pascagoula, had a chance to be part of the first civilian group to tour the new USS McCool, and wanted to share some of that with you over the next couple of days because the ship is amazing. Commanding officer and captain of the and rank captain, but commanding officer of the boat, Jeff Baker, introducing us all.
Buddy, I want to. This is really our first real tour. We've had a few people here and there, family members and such, but so I welcome you to future USS Richard M. McCool. This has been our hardest week. This was supposed to be our hardest week, and we finished noon yesterday. We got through our engineering certification, we got through navigation, and we got through force protection in one day.
All right.
So the crew's doing an amazing job. So I'm blessed. I'm an amazing team. They're motivated. I tell them all the time, right now I'm the most overpaid cheerleader in the country. I walk around and pump their fists and ask them how many days we got until we get the hell out of Mississippi. And they can tell you to the hour how many days, right? And I can tell you, it's 21 days.
And he doesn't mean that as a knock on Mississippi. He just means they're eager to get, you know, onto operating the boat, right?
3 weeks from now, we're south. And we're out of here. And we can't wait to get to Pensacola. Couldn't be more appreciative of everything you've done to embrace this ship and my crew. And we feel blessed to commission Pensacola. And that is a SWO, right? The last place I ever thought I'd want to go is the birthplace of naval aviation. But I did, for those, some of you know, I did go to OCS there. I left in 98 and haven't been back until we visited again. So, but anyway, we do look forward to it.
And he told us elsewhere that he didn't really want to go to Pensacola for the commissioning. There were three sites that offered, and they thought Pensacola was third, and then they went here, and he's like, Pensacola's first. It's the place.
We're kind of in a stage of deep cleaning now, right? When a ship goes to acceptance trials, it's immaculate, right? A shipyard has it spotless. And then they still own it for 3 months, and they don't care. So it's all on us. But we've been busy. We're catching up, and it'll look really good for us. You saw our postmates are out there painting the side of the ship. If you're a DDG, they do that for you. If you're an amphib, we got to do it ourselves. I'm not sure who the contracting officer are for the amphib.
They have to compete for DDG work. They don't have to compete for
Absolutely. Yes, sir.
He's saying that the destroyers, they take good care of, and the amphibious ships, well, you can take care of that yourself, which is kind of funny. And then the last thing, just kind of this is a sense of the scope of what they can accomplish.
Yeah, so this space and the one below us and the one above us, this is all marine equipment, right? Trucks. It used to be, when I first started playing, we had tanks and howitzers.
Just to give you the picture, okay, we're standing in what just feels like a giant warehouse, okay? It's the interior of the boat with, you know, one sidewall, another sidewall, and then just a giant floor space filled with tie-down they're kind of covered over so you don't trip on them. But, you know, if you've ever been out to, like, NAS Pensacola for the homecoming air show, you know, all the tie-downs for the airplanes, but they're just everywhere. Like, they're, you know, every 3 feet or so there's one because it's all equipment that they tie down when they're storing it and staging it for doing the amphibious landings, okay? And so it's just this giant deck inside of the ship that's nothing but storage for all the marine gear.
Used to be when I first started flying, we had tanks and howitzers and everything else. Now, trucks could be their medical supplies, but all the equipment they need to go fight ashore, it will be loaded. So there won't be the only thing they'll have a fire lane, which we're required to have, and that's about the only place you can walk when these ships are loaded out. There's just no space. The Marines do not pack light. They say they're light. You know, we can go and take everything we need for 30 days. I can get them 6 months. I know that.
Do you have just the equipment, or do you have the equipment and the Marines?
Yeah, we'll have this ship can embark up to 500 Marines. So we'd have 400 to 500 be our portion of a Marine Expeditionary Unit.
So he's got a full bore staff of around 400. He's currently staffed at about 330, I think is what he said. And they carry about 500 Marines to station. And they will typically join with another amphibious ship. This is an amphibious loading dock. They'll join with another amphibious ship and then a Marine carrier. That's the straight deck instead of the odd-shaped deck that you'd see on, like, the aircraft carriers for the Navy. But they'll join and they'll deliver, you know, 2,200 Marines total on station as part of that whole group. We then got a chance to go, and you go up or down ramps, okay? There's huge ramps inside that can lower and, you know, to connect the decks that have the various things supplied to them. And you eventually go out to it's called the false beach, okay? This is the operational interface between the boat and the water or the boat and wherever they're trying to go. And in this case, we got explanations given to us by Bosun Mate Second Class Cotton.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Warship 29. All right, I'm Bosun Mate Second Class Cotton. Right now, we're standing in front of what's called the false beach. It's the ramp down into our well deck. Well deck is responsible for our embarkation and debarkation of all amphibious craft. We have Landing Craft Air Cushion, which is a modified military hovercraft designed to take troops to and from the beach. We can also take Landing Craft Utilities, or LCUs, long barge-like vessels that can pull in, unload more cargo, as well as assault craft vehicles. Modified amphibious tanks for Marine departures, right?
What you're picturing, if you're looking out the back of the boat, okay, is you're standing, I don't know, 15, 20 feet up on the deck that had all this stuff on it, and then you're looking down a ramp that then goes to an enormous staging area that is about a foot up off of the water level. You can't see the water because there's a back door, like a lift gate for a truck between you and the water. And that area is the interface. That's the false beach. That's the stuff. That's where stuff goes to come in and go out of the boat. And to your right and to your left, you have walls that have observation decks and have windshield wipers on the observation decks because it's a hot mess whenever they're doing this stuff and they got to be able to see to keep for safety. Back to this description of what they do at the false beach, which is the interface basically between the amphibious ship and the water. Again, Bosun Mate Cotton talking about how they handle cargo out the back.
The mission of this ship is capable of doing humanitarian and amphibious assault. It's a little bit of everything. If you look around you, you'll see all kinds of tools and equipment around. We have man lifts, cranes, forklifts, all kinds of lines, small boats, everything like that. It's a cargo handling masterpiece.
A cargo handling masterpiece.
In the well, how we bring this down, we can flood it up to 10 foot on average for most vessels. Troops and everything will come in. We'll close the stern gate in the back behind them. Then we'll go ahead and deballast, drain out all the water from the well. Crafts will land on the deck. We'll use these white squares all throughout the well to attach chains and wooden shoring to keep the vehicles in place. Then we'll debark all Marines. This entire area you're standing here, up top, down these ramps right here, are what are called vehicle stowage areas. We will load out to the T Humvees, Connex boxes, trucks, and all kinds of other special warfare equipment that we need to accomplish whatever mission we're on.
Now, for whatever reason, mostly because I was a little overwhelmed by all of it, I mean, just to give you the scope, this is a 680-foot boat. This is a big, this is not some small naval vessel, okay? This is, you know, your cutters are in the 200-foot range. You know, this is like if you've seen the Coast Guard cutters we have at NAS Pensacola, it's three times that long. okay? At least 2.5 times that long. It's a big ship. And, you know, you get in this environment and everything is new and different. You're taking pictures and you're recording audio and you're trying to understand. And he explained all of this, but somehow I didn't catch it. So the Bosmate senior chief, Beckendorf, actually got asked a question by Don Quinn, the retired rear admiral from NETSI, who was a kind of our tour leader. He said, can you just explain the ballasting to them? Because I don't think they get it.
Yes, sir. For ballasting and deballasting. With what that is we have several ballasting tanks. What it means is we have empty tanks on board the ship that we fill with water, with seawater to go ahead and make the aft end of the ship sink down into the water to get the seawater into the well deck to go ahead and land these crafts inside the well. And then after when we're done, we want to raise the ship back up. We flush high pressure air into those tanks to get all that water back out of the tanks and back out into the ocean. That way we can raise the ship back up to normal level.
Amphibious means they sink the back of the boat. They load all of this gear down into the back, and then they sink the boat, open the door and sink the boat, and then everything leaves on little boats. And then if they're loading back in from the beach, the boats come back in, they raise it back up, drain all the water, and then they drive it up into the rest of the ship. I mean, it's an unbelievable operation to imagine. And so I asked the question.
What kind of weather conditions limit those operations?
Weather conditions, it is...
There are various sea states that we can operate in can. So it's...
This is Captain Jeff Baker.
Really, for trying to bring in vehicles, unless it's mission critical, sea state 2 or 3 is about where we want to stay, right? Because they're just... The ship's bouncing up and down, the vehicles are bouncing up and down, it just gets real dangerous. Because along these catwalks, right, I've got a bunch of young sailors handling lives. So it can be, look, the well deck's a very dangerous place to operate. We get really good at it, but it's not the safest environment to work in. And if the seas are rough and you know, the ships have been damaged and craft have been damaged coming in and out of these well decks because of sea state. So we really try to be overly cautious when we can.
So if you've got 4-foot waves, that's about the limit that they're saying they like to operate in sea state 3. And it's pitching and rolling and they're trying to keep safe and they're trying to keep from killing people in the disembarkation. I mean, this is a very dangerous thing that they do.
Also, if you're overseas and they got to go, we're gonna get them out and in. But we try to minimize the sea state. And we also, you know, we want to be driving into the seas a little bit more for launch and recovery to minimize our propellers. We have huge propellers. Unlike DDGs, they turn in instead of outboard. That reduces the weight behind the ship and gives it a little smoother ride in. And that's by design. It makes it less efficient, you know, obviously. But it certainly reduces the weight and allows these craft to come in safely.
So what I was thinking of when I was listening to him talk about this is it's like a carrier in waves and wind.
This is like the waterborne version of landing the aircraft on the carrier, right? It's moving and you got to guide them in the same
absolutely
basic way with
more
dangers everywhere.
More dangerous, I would say.
Yeah, it seems like.
Absolutely is. Because as Boats was talking about, right, you put 10 foot of water back there, it's a lot of weight. So I lose a lot of control of the ship. And we're going about 5 knots, so I don't have a lot of maneuvering capability to bring them in. And they're big, heavy, and they're loaded down with full marine equipment, right? So, that, you know, you're talking probably almost when they're loaded down about 1,000 tons. So it is very dangerous. The amphibious sailors get really good at doing it. We do it all the time. There's a career amphibian guy, but it's something we brief, we talk about, and we have, you know, safety all over the place.
We got, you know, they're watching from up above, right? The reason they have windshield wipers because
the LCACs are blowing. It's just raining in here when we're doing operations, right? So it's loud, it's wet, it's noisy, it's chaotic, but we do it safely.
Loud, wet, noisy, and chaotic, but we do it safely. And I'm just, you know, imagining the sort of organized chaos of all of that in an amphibious landing. It's, which is what they drill on and what they have to be able to do in difficult situations, right? But they always keep a good sense of humor. My favorite part of that, I mean, just, it's always the little stuff, okay? The importance of morale, because as Jeff Baker, the captain, said.
Hey, the other part, it makes one hell of a swimming pool. So I'm all for swim call. We'll flood it and we'll have some fun. And to include, you know, they bring these big tri-walls, cardboard tri-walls on board. They make pretty good boats for some races too.
That's awesome. All right.
So we do have some fun out there. Okay. We just don't tell the boss. We don't put it on Facebook.
Well, till now. I mean, he was talking about putting pickleball courts up in the well, which is a different part of the boat up above where they launch and recapture the ribs and stuff like that. So I'm going to be doing more of this because this is just kind of like the beginning, but that's one of the main operational elements of the ship. Somebody, you should call it a ship. It's not a boat. Well, they are called bosuns, B-O-A-T-S-W-A-N. I mean, you know. Captain of the boat. Anyway, it's a pretty impressive vehicle. So when it comes on September 7th, you want to go. You definitely want to go.
Parents usually know if their children will argue over their inheritance, but this can be prevented. I'm Wesley Odom with Armada Advisors. No one wants to see their wealth wasted away because of poor planning. I've assisted several clients with estate planning ideas and sometimes have served as trustee or executor upon their death. Give me a call at 497-6167. Armada Advisors is charting a better course.
Sometimes I struggle to get to sleep. My body stopped for the day, but my mind is still running. So I take ZzzQuil.
ZzzQuil, the world's number one sleep aid brand, has a range of non-habit-forming products to fit you and your family's needs. Invest in a great night's sleep for the best you tomorrow.
I'm awake and ready to take on anything.
Better days start with ZzzQuil Nights. Explore our products at ZzzQuil.com. Uses directed. Keep out of reach of children.
As a mom, comforting my family is what I do best. Vicks VapoStick provides soothing, non-medicated Vicks Vapors in an easy-to-apply stick. And it dries fast, so there's no mess. I use it to comfort myself and my family.
Thanks, Mom.
Vicks VapoStick. Soothing comfort for the whole family. And when you need more comfort for yourself, try Vicks VapoShower Max for steamy Vicks Vapors.
Uses directed. VapoStick for use ages 4 and up. VapoShower Max use for adults only.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknights 7 to 10 before WEAR TV News on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
You're gonna see all day. We started best first. My name's Pigpen. Over here I have my ABFC Chief Petty Officer of our department. It's Miss Jenilyn Falacco. And then I have ABF1, my department lead petty officer, ABF1 McGee. We're here to show you a little bit about the flight deck, our hangar bay, and for anybody who's willing to walk up three flights of stairs to the nice air conditioning spot, we'll take some people up to the helicopter control station. Lovingly referred to as the tower.
You know, it's funny, when I was shooting the video for this and recording, this Pigpen is his call sign, one of the pilots on board the USS McCool during the tour that we got to take last week. I didn't even write down his name. Just because, you know, that's just kind of how this always works out with pilots. You know them by their call signs, and then if you get the name, they're lucky. So, the McCool is an amphibious loading dock. That means the inside is a giant warehouse to ship out the Humvees and, the boats and the Connex boxes and just all the gear, okay, that they have. And then on the back, you've got, a deck, right? The flight deck. Now, it's not a big flight deck. It's only got space for a few rotors.
As you can see, though, to start off flight deck, we have 6 spots available. We're only allowed to use 4 at a time just because of aircraft spacing and stuff like that. But when we go out and we deploy and do real-world missions, we can fit up to 6 helicopters on this boat to go out with us. Those aircraft can be all different types, usually marine aircraft. Lately, a lot of LPDs have been deploying with either CH-53 Echoes or Kilos from the Marine Corps, or V-22s, the Ospreys. Very capable flight deck, very capable aircraft that deploy with this flight deck. And this is where all the magic happens when we're under.
And I know these people are always talking in terms that you may not understand, but that's the Sea Stallion or the King Stallion, the 53. That's the big old beast-looking helicopter. I don't know how else to describe it. You know what Russian helicopters look like? They kind of look like that. Just big old ugly ones that do a lot of stuff, very capable. And then the CV-22, that's the Osprey, that's the tilt rotor that you see, like, you know, the Hurlburt uses and the Marines use. But yeah, six spaces, they can only use four at a time. And then there's an air traffic control tower, like you see on an aircraft carrier, but it's only four helicopters, only for the back end of the boat.
Yeah, this is a very large tower space compared to most Navy ships. This is where the air boss and the mini boss will control all the aircraft. We control all the lighting and basically the function of the flight deck. We do have secret capacity in here to communicate off ship via both computers, which are not installed, and telephone.
So they kind of.
Fox News. I'm Chris Foster. In a farewell address to the nation, President Biden warns the ultra-rich are taking control of America.
An oligarchy of extreme wealth, power, and influence is taking shape in the country, President Biden warned.
It literally threatens our entire democracy.
President Biden also says he worries about an emerging tech industrial complex and an erosion of fact-checking on social media.
Fox's Jared Halpern at the White House. Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says a last-minute crisis is holding up an agreement with Hamas militants for a Gaza ceasefire and hostage for prisoner swap.
The Israeli cabinet was scheduled to vote today on the deal. That would be followed by a 48-hour period that would allow for objections in the Israeli Supreme Court. But we've just received a statement from the Prime Minister's office claiming that Hamas is going back on some of the agreements.
Fox's Trey Yingst in Tel Aviv, Israel. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3, and it is 45 degrees right now. We've got mostly clear skies this morning in Pensacola, as you heard on Fox News just moments ago.
Breaking news on News Radio 92.3, AM 1620.
There is breaking news on that Gaza ceasefire deal. The Israel Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu accusing Hamas of backing out of the deal to release hostages and saying his cabinet will not be meeting to vote on that ceasefire deal today. Now, again, this is a story we'll be following with our friends at Fox News. We'll be following this here throughout the day to give you the very latest on that. On what's happening with that deal. Officials looking for a vehicle involved in a property damage incident at the Tiger Point Sports Association complex. That happened last week on January 8th. Videos of a suspect vehicle are posted online. Now, you can see videos of that vehicle on Facebook at the Tiger Point Sports or the Santa Rosa Sheriff's Office Facebook page. And if you have any information on who was driving that vehicle, you are asked to contact Crime Stoppers or the Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office. Two arrests have been made for a murder that happened in Ferry Pass last September. 27-year-old Derek Stewart and 21-year-old Desiree McCants were both booked into the Escambia County Jail yesterday on murder charges. Both of them, both suspects were listed as being homeless. Stewart also faces charges for weapons possession. The shooting happened September 20th on County Walk Drive. A man was found dead in a front yard there. Family members identified that victim as Larry Spires III. Escambia County District 4 Commissioner Ashley Hoffberger had pre-filed now to run in 2026 for re-election. Hoffberger says she intends to continue working on big projects such as improving the Pensacola Bay Center, potentially building an indoor sports facility on the northern end of the county, and the long-discussed conference center in Pensacola. Blue Origin celebrating what they're calling an incredible milestone today. They launched their new Glenn rocket from the Cape Canaveral Space Force Station this morning.
Lift off.
And after scrubbing earlier attempts to get the 320-foot rocket off the ground, the aerospace company finally recorded a success. Jeff Bezos was on hand to watch the mission, the launch from Mission Control. While the launch went as planned, returning that first stage booster and landing it on a barge in the Atlantic did not succeed.
Governor Ron DeSantis blaming the House for blocking condo reforms. The governor said yesterday he wants a special session to change a law requiring condo boards to have enough money to fund certain repairs. The governor said he's shared his ideas for condo reform with lawmakers, and the Senate has as well. But he says the House is not in a position where they think anything needs to be done. House Speaker Daniel Perez tells the Times-Herald that the reports can be addressed in the regular legislative session, which begins in March. 5:35 at News Radio 92.3. And right now, we do have 45 degrees across the area. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast.
Plenty of sunshine today with a temperature near 60 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 40 degrees. For Friday, nice, mostly sunny skies, high near 64. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 60 degrees. Early Saturday morning, showers and thunderstorms start to move in. 66 degrees for that high, high rain chances throughout the day. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And right now, again, 45 in Pensacola. It's 43 in Gulf Breeze, 44 in Milton. Your next news at 6, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. JetBlue Airways is taking a second bite at the apple. The Big Apple, that is. Almost 12 years after abandoning service to New York City from Pittsburgh, the airline once again is flying back into NYC. It will launch a daily flight between Pittsburgh International Airport and John F. Kennedy International Airport starting April 30th. Crafts and fabric retailer Joann Incorporated has filed for bankruptcy protection for the second time in less than a year as its sales continue to decline. The company had roughly $615 million of debt obligations, according to a Chapter 11 documents filed. The Consumer Price Index increased a seasonally adjusted 0.4% on the month in December, putting the 12-month inflation rate at 2.9%. That's according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. These results gave the markets its best day yesterday since November. Futures are currently slightly higher. The Dow Industrials gained 703, the S&P 500 up 107. That's your money now.
Sarah, Happy New Year. You look amazing. How are things with you and Mark?
Lisa, I can't thank you enough for telling me about Wave Men's Health. We've totally rediscovered each other. Mark's working out. Oh, and we're doing more as a family than laying around watching TV.
I told you, they're incredible. My husband and I had the same experience. It's like having that spark all over again, isn't it?
Exactly. It's more than the physical. It's the connection, the energy. It's the best gift we could have given ourselves.
This new year, make the resolution that changes it all. Wave Men's Health brings you proven options for ED, low testosterone, and enhancement. Reignite your drive, rebuild your confidence, and show up in the moments that matter most.
Here's to more love and more joy in the year ahead.
Cheers to that.
Book your appointment today at wavemenshealth.com or dial 850-266-7020. That's wavemenshealth.com or dial 850-266-7020. Wave Men's Health, making it happen.
News Radio 92.3 is proud to be a partner in the success of a lot of local businesses. We want your business to be part of this success story in 2025 with our unique platform to showcase your powerful message. Every day, News Radio's Pensacola Expert Panel provides an opportunity unlike any other. Hi, I'm Meg, host of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Let us help you share your message. Contact us to get you and your business part of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Call 850-262-6000.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at News Radio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
News Radio Pensacola has you covered no matter where you are or how you like to listen. Tune into our frequencies on 92.3 FM, 95.3 FM, and AM 1620 for the latest breaking news, local updates, and in-depth analysis. Can't be near a radio? No problem. Stream us live on our website or through our convenient app. Available for download on your mobile device. Plus, with our smart device integration, you can ask your virtual assistant to play News Radio 92.3 and we'll be right there with you. It's News Radio Pensacola.
That we had, limited like what we could do with our phones. The first area of limitation was up in the helicopter tower, the kind of air traffic control tower, if you want to think of it that way. Had to put our phones away in there. What they really didn't want was video, so I wound up pulling it back out to record just audio, which he said was fine. Then there's the bridge, where they were cautious because of some of the radar and navigation stuff they didn't want us to have. And mostly they had it all turned off, so it wasn't a problem. But they didn't want us to have that. And then when we went into the combat information center, no phones at all. Like, leave them outside the door. They're just not allowed to be in there for all of the sensitive stuff. So this was an area where we had some relatively sensitive stuff, which they didn't want on video, obviously. But, you know, what was it for? What does it do in the helicopter operations center?
Oh, if any of you guys have prior LPD experience or have ever been on LPD before, you'll notice that the passageway up here, on other LPDs, there's tons of other offices, tons of other spaces because of the superstructure in the aft part of the ship. On this ship, it's all for aviation. We're the only thing up here. So we have this section, which includes all of our comms equipment, emergency conflagration system. So if a crash happens on the flight deck, I can light off all of the sprinklers from right here to make sure that we're putting that fire out as fast as possible.
And it's also designed to make sure that all of the weather conditions are safe for the helicopters to take off and land from the deck that in, you know, rolling seas and high winds may be, you know, moving and shaking and doing all kinds of dangerous stuff.
We also have the state-of-the-art Mariah system, which is up there in the front on the top that you guys can see. So when we do flight ops with helos that fly in here, we have to have very specific, prerequisites in regards to wind and wind limitations. So that system helps us determine what type of helicopter's flying, where the ship has to be steered, what course we have to be driving into the wind, and at what speed, so that the helicopter can land safely and be within their power limits.
Pretty advanced piece of technology to help them figure out all of those variables all the time instead of, you know, just the, you know, somebody who's been doing it a long time and knows it by instinct or whatever, right? Which is, you know, that's a good thing. Also, and by the way, for those who may not know, and I apologize for not explaining, this ship is going to come commission here in Pensacola in a couple of weeks. Like, it's coming here September 7th for us to, you know, officially put into service. It's a really cool thing. So we had a chance to go over there and, you know, take a look at it last week. Anyway, back to the Pigpen's description of what they can do on the flight deck and how the markings, because sometimes you might see the markings on the flight deck. And if you know what an amphibious ship looks like, you'll know what it is already. But if you don't, and maybe you watch like the last ship, that TV show that was an Arleigh Burke class destroyer, that's a smaller flight deck that's really only designed for like one or two birds. And then they've got kind of storage space for, I think, two, if I remember correctly, inside two hangars. This has two hangars also, but it's a much larger flight deck to, again, as he said, space for six, but only four to operate at a time.
So we can fit six on deck, but we can only fly four at a time, and it depends heavily on which aircraft and the size of the aircraft. You can kind of see, if you look out on the flight deck, you'll see several red and white lines. So if there's an aircraft landing and any part of it crosses a red or white line, that other section of the flight deck is fouled and no one can land there. Hmm. So we really can only operate four at a time if they're all small helicopters, like a 60, a Cobra, or a Huey.
So if you think of it, you know, when you go into a gym sometimes and that gym has had lines put on the floor for badminton and pickleball and basketball and volleyball, and there's like all these different lines everywhere. It's kind of like that because it's designed to accommodate different types of aircraft. And then, you know, that aircraft needs this much space, you know, for safety. And then you use those lines and then you park it here. And if it crosses that line, well, that's a problem because that makes that next zone unusable. It's kind of how it works. And, you know, Cobras are the ones like you see downtown at the Veterans Memorial Park. That's a Cobra. Huey's, you know, the like fatter troop transport ship that you flew Vietnam era and still does fly, of course. And then the 60, they never call them, you know, Blackhawks. They always call them 60s, but in Seahawk in the Navy. But that's, you know, if you know what a Blackhawk is, that's what you're like civilians more typically refer to it as that. Back to Pigpen, who was our pilot tour guide when we were seeing the USS McCool LPD-29, the amphibious landing dock. All of a sudden, I can't remember. He was taking us on a tour of the flight deck, and I asked the question, well, okay, rotors, you know, helicopters, or the Osprey, and the 53s and the 60s and the Cobras and the Hueys, what about planes, because there are some vertical takeoff and landing planes, right?
Is it all rotors, or do you use like 35s or even Harriers or anything like that?
We're currently not certed to fly Harriers or vertical landing 35s. However, I've heard talks about possibly integrating vertical landing 35s in the future. Right now, all the 35s are on the big decks, so the LHAs, LHDs.
So the, you know, what the Marines use for aircraft carriers, you know, the long straight deck, that's what those planes are on. And but they could theoretically be used on the amphibious ship. They're just not really certified for it right now. And then also what I wanted to know is, are we going to have any aircraft on the deck when it comes into Pensacola?
When we're in Pensacola for the commissioning, what will you have back there? Do we have any helicopters?
We're not going to have any aircraft support for commissioning. We tried our best to get them out for it. It was just too much of a logistical hassle. And the Marines, who are heavily trying to prepare, especially with the B-22s coming back up, they couldn't sacrifice that operational and training time to send the aircraft down.
There's a lot of helicopters at Whiting.
Yes, we are having we will have a flyover for the commissioning. I think using some of the Goshawks.
Oh, okay.
I actually wonder, I don't know if it'll be Goshawks from NAS Pensacola or whether it'll be T-6s from, of course, both bases have T-6s. But I'm sure there'll be some cool flyover for the commissioning. Interesting his answer. The reason that they're not going to have any of the helicopters on, because the boat is in its gradual stages of getting fully equipped, right? They're not up there to full staff complement. Like I think they were saying that the main weapons, I think they were saying that the main weapons officer has yet to be delivered. Like there was one and then he left and now there's another one coming in. But the reason that they couldn't get the helicopters on board is because the Marines are too busy recertifying, relearning, repracticing with the Ospreys, which had been the CV-22s, which had been out of business for a while. And I just thought that was kind of an interesting how the, you know, the grounding of the fleet kind of turns into an adversity for the McCool that they aren't going to have access to those planes because they're all trying to get back up and running after having been grounded for that period of time while they investigated the crashes. I also asked a question about like how many pilots are on board because he was one and I just didn't know. I mean, is it 20? Is it four? What is it?
How many permanent ships company aviators do you have here on board?
Two pilots. And that's pretty typical for the LPD ship. And then we have a few others who are helicopter control officer qualified, but not aviators by trade.
And your indigenous is the Ospreys or the Sea Knights?
I'm a 53 pilot.
Okay.
And so my counterpart, the mini boss, is a H-60 pilot.
Oh, Sierra. Okay.
And by the way, I had read somewhere that they had Sea Knights on board, and so I was wrong about that. So he answered me and corrected me without correcting me. It was a very sweet thing of him to do. And you got to kind of understand pilots. You know, and so when we got back down into the hangar, climbing down out of the control tower, he was handing us off to the other people who were going to do the tour, and he said,
"Okay, we're going to move you guys through medical. I'm sorry, it's all downhill from here for the rest of the time. You guys take care."
You saw the flight deck. That's the cool stuff.
Is this just storage and weather, or can they do repairs and stuff in here?
Yeah, this is full repair.
Okay.
They
need to change blades. They do it all here.
Okay.
So this really is the operational base for those aircraft that are coming off here. Okay.
That was Captain Jeff Baker, the commanding officer of the ship, and I had asked to what degree the hangar space had capability to work on these, you know, helicopters and full capability. That's what they're designed for. So anyway, that's your little peek into the USS McCool that's going to come commissioning here on September 7th. I'll continue doing this over the next few days, giving you a peek into other aspects of the ship. Because there's just, for me, okay, I'm a nerd about this stuff anyway. I think it's interesting. But this is a ship that our sailors that we train here at NAS Pensacola, you know, particularly in the aviation side, right? You know, we just had the interview last week with MatSig 23. That's the people who work on airframes. So some of the sailors who are training at NAS Pensacola over, you know, like right now potentially, or have recently graduated their programs, are going to be stationed on this ship that's going to commission here in Pensacola. Pilots that went through their, you know, school's command, first training here, and then if they're rotor pilots, they all went through Whiting. So those folks are like Pigpen. I didn't ask him specifically, but, you know, he seemed young enough that it would have been Whiting. So he trained at Whiting. Like, the connection between the local military mission and this ship and its mission and the commission, it's such a wonderful tie-in of all these things so that you can really get the ability to understand, you know, like, what are we doing as a Navy town other than just saying we're a Navy town? Well, this, like all of this stuff, is all connected.
Since 1988, Volkswagen drivers have come to Feedmore Imports on New Warrington Road for the distinctive style, innovative design, and value of VW offers. This year, the tradition continues with the all-electric ID. Buzz. This highly anticipated new VW has arrived and is waiting for you to experience today. The ID. Buzz joins the VW lineup, including the family-sized Atlas and the Atlas Cross Sport SUV. Both models are available with 1.9% financing for 60 months, or choose a $4,500 discount on the Atlas and $4,000 off the Atlas Cross Sport. And the 2024 Tiguan has 0% financing for 60 months, or $3,000 in rebates. They all share VW's distinctive and innovative design, and they're all at Feedmore Imports, 106 New Warrington Road. They're not in Car City, so you won't pay Car City prices.
Discounts are a standalone offer, not to be combined with special APR rate. Volkswagen Financial Services with qualifying credit. Offers expire March 3rd, 2025.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us tomorrow at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
The cooler weather in Pensacola is a great time of the year for gardening. Whether it's planting roses, planting shrubs and trees in cool weather color, and of course, planning for spring. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got gardening questions, we've got answers on the News Radio Garden Line every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesdays, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9.
Sponsored by Pensacola Hardware at Barnes Feed Store.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic updates, but don't always have time to listen to the radio? Well, now you can get text alerts from the News Radio Pensacola app.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. I'm Bobby Rossi. Filling in for Andrew, it is 47 degrees. Here in the Pensacola area, 45 degrees in the Pensacola area, going to be a high of about 61 today. And we mentioned this yesterday that it's going to be 60s today, tomorrow, and Saturday. But then suddenly Sunday, the high is only 48. The low's in the upper 20s. Monday, even colder, might not even get to 40. And then Tuesday, a possibly wintry mix. Either ice or ice and snow or snow and rain. And it's going to be nasty on Tuesday. Possibly a high of 39, a low of 25. And then it slowly starts to warm up by the end of the week at that time. So, yeah, that does not sound very nice at all. There is a couple of local stories I want to hit up real quick. So, first one is that the Warrington Middle School, you know, they continue to have, continue to be threatened to be shut down because of their consistent D grades or less. And there was, it was converted into a charter school, what was it, a year ago only? Well, they still didn't have a good grade. So yesterday, the Florida Department of Education ended up, had the first meeting of the year, and Warrington Preparatory Academy, now it's not Warrington Middle School, but Warrington Preparatory Academy was granted an extension in order to improve its grade before it's shut down. So it was in its final year of the state mandated turnaround plan, but now they've got to another year to try to move forward. Superintendent Keith Leonard and Charter Schools USA say there are signs of significant progress, though. Leonard says, quote, "I don't think there's any school in the state we're more informed on than Warrington Preparatory Academy." So, you know, oh, it was 2 years ago is when Warrington Middle switched to a charter school. And it's still, they're still on the cusp, but it hasn't really turned it around. Here's the last few years. So last year, they had a 42% grade or whatever for the school grade, 42%. So it was a D. But that's up from 36% the year before, which was right around the same as it was 2021 to 2022 year, which was 37%. 2020 to 2021 was 33%. COVID year, there was not a grade. And the year before that was 40%. So D, 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 D. But this past year's D was 6 points higher than what it's been in the past. So that's part of it right there. The a couple of stories I wanted to just briefly hit on. I didn't have time to hit on them as we've been having some technical difficulties with our microphones here. Supreme Court is reviewing right now the online pornography access bills. You know, there's a lot of states, including Florida, that is trying to restrict minors from having access to pornography. And so far, based on the first line of questioning on the first day, it does seem like that they are in favor of some sort of online checks for access to pornography. It could still, you know, go one way or another. They're going to be addressing the TikTok ban. You know, the TikTok is supposed to be banned on Sunday. Here's a few options that might happen before Sunday. One is they could go ahead and hear it and strike, you know, basically strike down the TikTok ban under the First Amendment, meaning they could say this is against First Amendment, you can't ban it. Or they could say, no, you can't ban, or yes, you can ban TikTok, and they'll keep it, they'll side with that. Or they could just go ahead and delay the deadline on Sunday in order to give them more time to hear arguments on the TikTok ban. So my guess is that's probably what they'll do, but you just never know. You just never know. Then the other story I wanted to hit on was pertaining to NASA and space. So NASA is looking to move their headquarters to Florida, to the Space Coast. Florida's been recruiting them, you know, been trying to woo them for many, many years now. But now it's getting close enough to where there's actually looking to have some things happen with it. Also, as it pertains to space, last night, Blue Origin, that's Jeff Bezos's company, they went ahead and sent the new Glenn rocket out. And apparently, if you were up early enough, you would have been able to see it from here in Pensacola, even though it launched from Cape Canaveral. People from Miami to Tampa to Pensacola could see Blue Origin's rocket launch. That's pretty crazy. This is the rocket that they had a test fire back in December. They had plenty of launch attempts, but it never really took off. Well, now this is the one that's finally it's taken off. This is bigger than the SpaceX Falcon Heavy. And this is like the competitor to SpaceX's, you know, things that they have going on. Now, this rocket will be certified to carry Department of Defense missions. So it's truly a competitor to SpaceX, which is right now, SpaceX is like the Uber for NASA and for Department of Defense and others. And Blue Origin is trying to become the Lyft, is the best way to put it. Speaking of the of SpaceX, they are have launched two private lunar landers that are supposed to go to the moon. Blue Ghost and Resilience have both launched from Cape Canaveral, and they were actually built by a Japanese space company. And once again, like I said, SpaceX is like the Uber of space. So they launched these, and they're supposed to be, I was trying to see when they were going to land. It's going to be a while. But yes, so they're going to they've launched two lunar landers. So we're starting to get some privatization of the moon exploration. All right, coming up here at the beginning of the next hour, let's go over Pam Bondi.
You're listening.